This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Kenny Brooks coming up at 8:45, the head coach of the women's program at Virginia Tech. And guess what? They're one of the four schools whose men's and women's team are in the NCAA tournament. That's the way we start the 8 o'clock.
I had an interview yesterday afternoon on radio with the head basketball coach at Delaware,
Martin Inglesby. Yeah, that's right.
And they're playing Villanova on Friday, two against the 15 seed. And both those schools, both their men and women's programs in the tournament. And he mentioned to me, and I did not know this, that there are 14 schools that fall into that category, both the men and the women in the dance, which leads into what we're getting ready to talk about.
What if the ACC leads the...
I can't confirm that that is a correct number, but he would know that, it would seem like.
Sure.
So he said 14 schools have the double dip on the men's and the women's side.
The ACC has Carolina, Notre Dame.
Virginia Tech.
That's right. So let's... In Miami. Thank you.
Four.
Katie Meyer with us tomorrow, by the way.
That's right. Program.
All right. Let's dive into this. They are in the tournament. Who's got the best combined record? How does this look when you start going to men's and women's basketball? All right, here's men's and women's basketball, both teams in NCAA tournament.
Well, did Brian Ives come up with this? I'm just asking.
Yeah, of course he did.
Okay.
You know why?
Because North Carolina's on the top of the list.
Carolina's at the top of the list, yeah. Tar Heel fans ought to be excited Brian Ives is involved in the production of this program because there'll be more – you know, light blue involved, I think. Don't you? You can anticipate that?
Well, I mean, I just already have.
Yeah, there you go. 47-15, 7.58 winning percentage. Notre Dame is second. Gotta go Muffet, right?
Muffet. What's Muffet got to do with it?
She's got part of that combined record men's and women's ACC basketball.
Not on this year's team, she doesn't.
Well, not this year, but what I'm saying is, you know, historically, 44-18, 71% this year, Neil Ivey. Duke, 45-19. Virginia Tech, 687, 46-21. Both of them are in the tournament. One of them was the ACC tournament champion on the men's side.
And Duke, if not for a late collapse, Carol Austin's team, they would be in the tournament.
Yeah.
And they had a tough stretch down the run. I mean, they, through the middle of early February, you'd say, were an NCAA tournament team, right?
Yeah.
Didn't end well, though.
Carolina at 7.58 is the winning percentage. For the Tar Heels there. So, that's you see the 47-15 is the best. Not by much, though. Just three games difference. Tar Heels with Brady Manick. And going to be interesting to watch Courtney Banghart's team go to Arizona.
I bet they'd all trade it in for some hardware, though.
Absolutely.
Right? At the end of the day, it's all about the hardware.
All right. Miami, Carolina, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. Which one goes the furthest?
Boy, Miami, Carolina, Virginia Tech. All five seeds. What's BPI say? I'll go the opposite of what BPI says.
Oh, stop with the BPI. Come on now.
I don't know, Wes. I mean... I'll go Virginia Tech. I think they've got the highest upside.
Virginia Tech?
Yeah. I got to pick one. I'll go with the Hokies.
Okay.
But it's based on nothing. I'm just telling you. I mean, you know, your point the other day, yesterday, about it would be nice if somebody would have been a four seed to get a chance to host. Courtney, of course, you'll hear that interview coming up here later. She wasn't real thrilled either with that seeding part because I thought they were certainly deserving of a four.
Right.
And then why is a four important? Because you'd rather be at home than have to travel anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those fives, I mean, I think they can win early, but that second game, that 4-5 matchups, if we get chalk, those are coin toss games, man. All of them. All three of them.
Virginia Tech, by the way, is 16th in the final AP Top 25 poll.
Means nothing.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. I'll give you an example on the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
The final AP poll came out yesterday on the men's side.
Yeah.
The last time the final AP number one ranked team won the national championship was 10 years ago with Kentucky, 2012. The Zags are number one in the final AP men's poll. South Carolina is number one in the final AP poll. None of that matters.
Right.
You got to go play. That's why I keep saying don't overanalyze all this stuff.
Yeah, I'd like an answer as to why Virginia Tech didn't host.
I thought they got hosed on that, but that's just me.
I mean, I'd like really answers as to why, you know, in some respect, Carolina and Virginia Tech and Notre Dame.
Certainly. The only thing I wished would have been said on the women's bracket mm-hmm. is I just wish somebody would have said, well, the reason we have UConn as the number two seed in Bridgeport is because we need people in the stands.
That's it. I wish
I just somebody just would have been it. Transparent yeah. and just said, hey, the reason UConn is mm-hmm. going to be a home team is because, quite frankly, we wanted warm bodies. I mean, just be honest.
Yeah.
As opposed to, well, the S-curve and nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's buying any of that.
I'm going to go Virginia Tech as well.
Oh, there you go. See, it took me 1 second. It took you 2 minutes. Why? Because you're overthinking it, Wes. It goes back to my theory on brackets. Just pick and go. None of this will matter. None of it is going to matter by Friday night. I'm telling you. You're going to look at your – if you get like a Sharpie or a red ink pen or whatever, and you do – every time I miss one, you put one
– right.
It will look like it has been shot to death by Friday night. I'm just telling you. There's no need to worry about it because your brackets are going to be a disaster
yeah.
after 2 days. It's just the way it works.
There you go.
It's no big deal. Just get to it. It's like playing golf, Wes. If you're going to shoot 98, hit it quick. Man, move. Get the round in 4 hours. If you're going to shoot 98, man, there's no need to spend all afternoon.
That's right.
Just get it over with. Mm-hmm. 3 hours, be done. What'd you shoot? 112. But I was in and out in 3 hours. Nobody wants to hear the play-by-play. Nobody does. Wes, I'm looking at you. Nobody wants to hear play-by-play.
You're
well,
right.
He was really close. The five seed, you know, if the Jones would have gone to his left. Nobody cares about any of that
Nobody
crap.
Wants to hear my play-by-play, I promise
No,
you.
Nobody wants to hear about the play-by-play. It's like, hey, just pick a game
and I got
move
the schedule to prove it.
What'd you shoot? 67. Oh, that's great. Next. I mean, don't spend 6 hours shooting it.
That's right.
Brackets are no different.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out which five seed's going to win. I got no idea. Just pick one. Virginia Tech. Hokie High. Pick Courtney. I love Courtney. She's great on interviews. Pick Carolina. But Jeff Walls is tremendous. He had the Packer and Durham up. Pick Louisville. Just go with it. I'm done. All these analytics and BPI, y'all are driving
me crazy.
Oh, wait.
No. We haven't done BPI yet. You can't be done yet. Can't be done. We got BPI left.
I'm waiting again.
Not yet. Not yet.
Later. Oh, great. I get to wait.
I got winter championships for you as we go to break here. We got winter championships.
And it started with what? Which sport started all of this?
Cross country.
And why is that?
Because you were there driving the cart.
And yeah. What did NC State do with the ACC championship?
Went to the national championship.
And what did they do then?
Won that.
Won it all.
Yeah.
Chariot of Champions. Mm-hmm. South Bend, Indiana.
That's it.
Cold, wet, miserable conditions. Perfect for running.
On location.
It all started with the Wolfpack.
On location.
That's exactly
there
right.
There you go.
Packer and Durham was there. At least half of us
here,
were.
Here are the championships by the academic year. Notre Dame, you see, has already won four of them. Including,
you know what we did in that golf cart? We went fast. You know why?
Men's and women's.
No need to waste time, Wes.
Men's and women's fencing. Soccer and cross country for the Irish. NC State. Women's cross country, which includes the national championship, swimming and diving on the men's side, wrestling and women's basketball, Virginia Tech a couple, men's basketball, remember the tournament champion, indoor track and field, Duke, women's indoor track and field, Pittsburgh you know about in football, Florida State, women's soccer, that's a national championship, Louisville in volleyball, Virginia women's swimming and diving, and of course, Carolina in field hockey won the ACC championship. All right, before we go to break, here is the BPI of the ACC teams that are opening in the men's tournament. Notre Dame is at 62%.
Seems high to me. I hope they're right, but that seems high to me.
Carolina, 61.
That seems right to me.
Okay. How about Virginia Tech and Texas? The Horns at 50.6.
I do think it's a coin flip game. I do like the way the Hokies are playing, though.
Southern California, 53.7% on Miami.
It's another coin flipper.
Blue Devils are prohibitive favorites against Cal State Fullerton, 96.8. You thought it'd be high.
I did. And Cal State Fullerton used to have great baseball. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They might still have it. I have no idea.
They've had decent basketball from time to time the last.
Well, they're going
to
get smoked in Green Bay. How about that? I'm just going to let you, let me just cut to the chase today. I'm not going to waste anybody's time analyzing, breaking down their backcourt against Duke and what are they going to do with Bancaro. They're not going to do anything with Bancaro. They're going to get smoked. Duke is going to smoke Cal State Fullerton. I mean, you can go, you can give me all those stupid numbers. And all,
right.
Hey, forget it.
Right.
Forget it.
I'll do okay.
And if Duke fans are packed, you're making me nervous. Don't get nervous. Now, you might want to get nervous in that second game. That game is going to be much more competitive than that first one.
All right.
But Duke's going to roll Cal State Fullerton. Please.
Yep.
Cut the nonsense.
When we come back, Courtney Banghart joins the program in case you missed it from yesterday. The Tar Heels are headed to Arizona to open NCAA play against Stephen F. Austin. We'll talk to Coach next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Number one bracket game in America? Well, it's free to play, and filling out your bracket has never been easier. With just one tap, our autofill tool helps you fill out as many as 25 different brackets. Tip-off is coming. Download and fill out your bracket now with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app.
2 minutes.
That's all it takes.
2 minutes, with or without the app. Just telling you. But that app does make it easy. It does.
Oh, man.
Piece of cake.
Zip right along.
Fly right through it.
In case you missed it, Courtney Banghart joined us yesterday. Tar Heels are a 5 seed, headed to the desert in Tucson to meet Stephen F. Austin on the in the opening round. And then they'll see the national runners-up, Arizona, in the second round, if things go to form. Carolina, the 5 seed. Arizona, the 4 seed. We talked to Coach Banghart, though, about the proliferation of 5 seeds in the ACC.
I was. You know, I think you look at a lot of different factors when you're trying to figure out how to work the tournament. And one of those factors, I think, is the net, right? And that's their own evaluative tool that they created. So I think you have to sort of honor where people are in that. And Virginia Tech and us, I think, were two teams in particular that were higher in the net than I think that they paid attention to. And then when you look at how many teams, we've got 2 number 1 teams, but yet only 2 teams hosting. With 8 teams coming in, that feels a little bit slighted as well, given the body of work. You know, and we played that ACC Big Ten Challenge and won that very handily. I don't know where that figured in to the brackets as well. And then the good wins and bad losses. You know, I think there's not a lot of that on either side. So I was surprised that we didn't have an additional 1 or 2 teams hosting. So I hope to get some answers at the end of all this.
Well, that's the other thing, too, as coaches, you got to kind of know what the cards are that are being thrown to you, right? And if you're being told, you know, you can win with certain cards and then you play those cards only to not win, that's got to be frustrating, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think when you, again, the evaluative tool that the NCAA determined being the net, you know, you have to really understand what that means. You know, it means the power of your wins versus the painful defeat, where those wins were, against who, and by how much, you know. And so, again, it's an evaluative tool that if you're going to have it, that you create, you should use it, right? And then also just as a league, I think they gave great respect, as they should have, to the number 1 seeds, you know, in both Louisville and NC State. I'm not sure they gave enough respect to the 3 through 5 in our league. I think that Notre Dame and Virginia Tech in particular with us have shown a lot throughout the course of our year. So we all have to find a way to get to the Sweet 16 on the road. And that's a big deal in women's basketball because these traditions, you know, Carolina's been in the tournament now 29 times, which, as you guys know, is more years than I've been alive, of course. So, you know, to think about these traditions or we got to find a way to win on the road is going to be a challenge.
There's a sense of enthusiasm and kind of a reboot once you get to this stage, especially with a team that's in the NCAA tournament. Do you get the same sense with your team last week and maybe even more so last night when all of a sudden you see North Carolina, 5 seed, we're going to Tucson, a sense of enthusiasm of, hey, all right, let's do it. We're back to start. It's like rolling the ball out for the first time for a season.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think this is my 10th tournament since I've been in this thing. And I have to tell you, I promise you, every single one is special. You know, I just, the day that I get that I get tired of hearing my name is the day I will hand in my resignation. You know, and this is it, seeing your name and knowing your body of work has been rewarded, and you're in kind of the premier sport event, I think, for all of college athletics, especially for women. That's just, it's a powerful moment, and it's earned, right? And so, yeah, this feels. You go home at night and you sort of say, "All right, back to work." So yeah, you're right on there. This is as special as it is for the fans, which I know is for any sports fan. This is kind of the meat of it. It's the same for the programs that are involved.
Courtney, I want to ask you about this as someone who has coached at different places, but also understands the evolution of the sport on the national mm-hmm. scale. We heard last night from both Dan Gavitt and Lynn Holtzman about all the things that will change with this tournament this year on the women's side. As a head coach of a prominent program at a Power 5 level, what do you anticipate those changes to be, and what do you think that experience will produce?
Well, I think first off, just the branding and marketing has already been noticed, right? To be able to call it March Madness, you know, there are plenty of people in my life who are more removed from it than me that say, why is it just, you know, they were surprised that we hadn't ever been March Madness before. I think having 68 teams, you know, having the play-in game, you know, these are things that are immediate, and they were easy to do, and they, yeah, sure, it should have happened sooner, but they were immediate. And then there are other things that take a little bit more time, and I know that progress is important, and to celebrate where you are is important, but same too to keep fighting. So there's a couple more things that need to be adjusted and kind of updated. But yeah, I think just the feel of that. Obviously, some of the things that we've been told are going to change, we won't know until we're there. You know, we won't, mm-hmm. we really won't. But, you know, I've got no other choice but to trust that the people making those decisions made the right ones and that the immediacy of it will be felt.
Let me ask you, if you don't mind, Sherry, what are the next one or two things you want to see changed that have not been changed yet?
Well, I think we have to look at what the reward is for the institutions. You know, I know on the men's side, there's these units that are really valuable, right? And so I know when the argument is maybe, well, they're coming from the same pot, you know, and so, but I just don't agree. I think if you, if for our athletic department, if us advancing in the NCAA tournament brings a financial reward, there's an added level of importance for that, right? And so I think figuring out what the reward is financially for the teams that accelerate in the tournament, I think is an important one, right? I also think the being able to, once we get the TV package, once that kind of is a chance to, once that comes up, allowing us to stand as a standalone, you know, so it's not kind of lumped into the men's side. And so whether it's your times or your other things, I think this product, and I'm proud to say it wasn't always this case, but I think right now the product is strong enough and marketable enough to stand alone in that way. And so when these contracts come up and we get a chance to regroup on it, I think letting it be that way. And then the sponsorship. You know, we have to have a revenue stream, and revenue is directly tied to value. And I think, again, I think this is a standalone value now that wasn't the case 10 years ago. And so we have to be able to allow sponsorships to come in and support the women and not have to first support the men in order to support the women.
It's a big tournament for the women. You know, first of all, March Madness. I don't know why it took so long. What's the big deal? Call it March Madness. Should have been calling it from day one.
I'd like to hear the NCAA tell me that.
I don't. You know why? Because you wouldn't get a straight answer. That's why. I wouldn't want them. Because, right. You know, they'd hem and haw, political, please. It should have been done a long time ago. It's a no-brainer. Nobody's offended by it. Hey, we know what March Madness is. The best basketball teams in the country go play hoops. Men, women, doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah, period. I mean,
to
me,
68, I love it. I've got no issue with it. More the merrier. Let it rip. What's the problem?
I think one of the things that happened last year during the pandemic and the inequality in the tournament structures was critical. The next big step is to move it to neutral sites across the board, be able to do that from a revenue standpoint. If it takes the sponsorships Courtney's talking about, then that's incumbent upon not only the National Collegiate Athletic Association and their corporate champions. Go find that singular, exclusive women's tournament sponsor. You found plenty for the other one. You ought to be able to find some for this one if you're going to create the kind of environment that you have to a degree. Can you replicate bounce for bounce? Absolutely not. But you can certainly make a concerted effort. The branding, to your point, seems really simplistic for it to take as long as it did.
Well, nothing gets done until mm-hmm. something gets sold. I've said that for 1,000 years, and that's still true.
Yep.
There is a thing called supply and demand, right? Economics does come into play. I think the women's game's probably never been more healthy as it is right now. There's more people watching women's sports. We're coming up on the 50-year anniversary of Title IX, which is going to be obviously emphasized this summer. But the women's brand is better now than it's ever been before. And that's why when the NCAA made the announcement about, well, we're now going to call it March Madness, I'm like, why was that so difficult?
Right.
I mean, seriously, what? And that's why I don't want to hear from the NCAA, because you're not going to get a straight answer with all that.
Well, and here's the other thing, too.
Because you know what the answer is? We screwed this up. That's the answer.
That's the answer to the question. Sure.
We should have done this a long time ago.
Lynn Holtzman and Dan Gavitt in an interview the other night with Holly Rowe. Lynn Holtzman, of course, the vice president of women's basketball, who handles the – she came under fire last year because of the inequality setups, and we all talked about that, from hotels and meals and
– That was a whiff.
Yeah, big time. Okay? But she talked about, we're going to see things as much this year as the experience factor. So I'll give you one little thing here to pay attention to. And I don't know that this is happening. That's why I'm saying it today. If I knew, I'd tell you. The NCAA spends an inordinate amount of money on playing floors. Okay? Like, all these sub-regional sites next week are going to have the same floor. It's really important that everybody have the same floor. It's not, but they think it is.
It's irrelevant.
Are they willing to do that in the women's event? And if so, how does that work? Because that has not been done across the board the way it's been done in the men's tournament. Is that one of the things, the experiences? We'll see.
What are we doing? You know, is the goal 10 feet high? Is the court 94 feet long? Good. I don't care if it's painted pink, purple, if it's wood, if it's chartreuse.
Hey,
I don't care. I don't care about any of that stuff.
Remember, this is also an event that in 1978 – they didn't care about the floor. You know why? Because they pulled out the old playing floor at the Checker Dome in St. Louis, and the daggone thing was warped, and they had to go get Indiana's floor from Assembly Hall and bring it to St. Louis to play. Okay? That's why the 78 Final Four, if you ever see video of it, it looks like they're playing in Bloomington when they're playing at the Checker Dome in St. Louis, because the NCAA and the St. Louis Host Committee didn't have a backup for the floor that was warped at the Checker Dome. Also created the year before deal in most Final Fours.
It's like filling out a bracket. Sometimes you can just overthink this stuff.
That's it.
Calling it March Madness is a no-brainer. Women's tournament should be great.
Yep.
The 4-1 seeds. But, you know, the women's tournament feels different to me than the men's tournament in terms of the anticipation of what we're going to see.
That's it.
There seems to be a little bit more dominance on the women's side at the top, as opposed to the men, which seems to be wide open.
Absolutely.
We'll see where it goes.
When we come back, we introduce you to a new member of our production staff. Is that right?
Brian Ives has been on many
times. That's true. Brian has been on before.
He's been on this show more than a dozen times.
Well, you got moats on that. There we go. So when we come back, Brian Ives with Fill in the Blank, ladies and gentlemen. He does have a beard, so he kind of qualifies. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Coming up Thursday morning, 10 o'clock, right after we're done, we'll send you to Tiger Town for Clemson's Pro Day. Justin Ross, Mario Goodrich, Baylen Spector are just some of the players that will be looking to impress NFL scouts, front office folks, who will gather, I'm guessing, at the beautiful new facility down there. Pack the indoor last year is where they did most of that. We'll see that for you. Right here, Thursday morning, 10 a.m., live from Clemson, here on ACC Network, and streaming live, of course, on the ESPN app. Andrew Booth will be there. He is not going to participate in Pro Day. He's done just enough, thank you. He doesn't need to show anybody anything else, as they say.
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay.
I think Andrew's going to be just fine. Baylen Spector, by the way, one of those guys that is kind of moving into circles, as they say, in the draft. Looking forward to seeing where he ends up.
Take your word for it.
Yep. So, all right. Fill in the blank time, sir.
Let's do it.
Let's welcome to this program, in a moderating role of this segment, Pack, Charlotte, North Carolina native, and apparently noted Hornets fan, Brian Ives, and got the hat to prove it.
When they make the play-in game, Mark's going to join me in the parade that goes by his house.
We're good. We're really good at NBA parades in this town.
Ives, Ives, you're on. Come on, man. Let's just settle in. Do the segment. Don't poke the host.
How are we doing in the standings? I've not looked at the NBA standings here recently. Are we like second, third place? What are we doing?
Just so curious. We're floating around 9-10 with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, right around that range.
It did.
So we're kind of like the NIT-esque team in the NBA.
I think they got the win at Oklahoma City last night, though, didn't they?
That is correct.
LaMelo from the logo last night. Eric Collins went to like six octaves.
So if we're ninth or tenth, that means we'll be in the playoffs for about 2 minutes, about as long as it takes me to fill out a bracket.
Oh, come on now. Right? So a little better attitude than that.
That's a good attitude. Okay. Ninth to tenth, that's impressive.
It's been worse.
Oh, hey. I was waiting for the parade when we were 7-56.
Montrezl Harrell's been a nice addition at the trade deadline, by the way.
All right. Excellent. I can't wait. All right. Can't wait for the parade.
All right, Ives, you're on the clock. Good luck and Godspeed.
All right, gentlemen, we will start with the highest seed in the men's tournament for the ACC. First, Duke must improve blank to reach the Final Four.
Better guard.
Yeah, how about defense?
Duke must improve their guarding.
Right. The guy with the ball is seriously a guy you should pay attention to. How about that as a concept? Yeah, defensively, they've got to improve. I mean, they got all the pieces. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake. They are a 2 seed, even though some thought they should probably be a 3 seed. Doesn't really matter.
Ooh.
They got to play better defensively.
Connor O'Neal, Elon grad, Duke's 5 worst defensive efficiency performances per KenPom have come in their last 6 games. Yikes.
You know what? And it's looked at.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, just the eye test. You don't even need an analytic to break that down.
There you go.
Defensively, it must get better.
All right. Next, sir.
All righty. So there are 4 of the 5 games involving ACC teams in the men's side in the first round have spreads of less than 3 points, 3 or fewer points. Blank ACC men's first round games will be decided by 3 or fewer.
1.
I'm going to go none. None. 0. I know there are a lot of close games. I know the league provided a lot of close games. Not one of these. One way or the other, these are more than 3. All of them. Okay. Including that one tomorrow night.
Late free throws.
I think we marked the tape on the West Durham prediction on that one. We do. West says 0.
0.
Nada. Nuka.
Not a 1.
Let's mark the tape on that one for West Durham.
Mm-hmm.
No close games.
All righty. We'll move on to the next one. Let's go to the women's side. And maybe we'll have a chance to ask a coach this later this week. But NC State should be blank to possibly play UConn in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
I'd say excited. I think if you're really good, and I think NC State is. I think their program's big time.
Right.
Russ Moore's done a brilliant job. I think that if you're in that family, mm-hmm. now the fans can scream all they want, but I think if you're really that kind of team, you can't wait for the chance to beat UConn in front of their folks.
I totally agree.
Because, now, again, if you're afraid, go buy a dog. But I don't think NC State's afraid. I don't. I think when you got one of those kind of teams, you're like, oh, okay, oh, good. We get to go play UConn potentially in their house.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I think that while everybody wants to have the conspiracy theories and all that, and that's fine, I agree with you. I think they're a talented enough basketball team, they can beat UConn.
See, I think it helps.
With or without Paige Beckers, Rebecca Lobo, Sue Bird, Taurasi, and all that crap. Because they're not coming through that door. The team that's 25-5 is the one that's on the floor, not the undefeated 205, however many games in a row UConn. That's not this team.
I think it's still a really talented team.
No question.
They were 5th in the latest AP poll, UConn.
Sure.
But I just think that when you're that kind of team, you love the people go, oh, you're a 1 seed. You're probably going to be an underdog. Man, you eat that stuff up if you're a big-time team. And I think NC State is.
If I'm Wes Moore, I try to wear the road jersey as the top seed, too. I try and tell the NCAA I'm going to wear the dart jerseys.
I don't care about any of that stuff. I'm just sitting here reading. Speaking of the NCAA real quick, I was just sitting here reading a note during the break. Matt Norlander says a package, not me, says it's now Tuesday on the East Coast, and Colorado State, which is scheduled to play the first game of Thursday's first round, still has not been told by the NCAA when and how it's flying to Indy to play in the NCAA tournament, according to their coach. You want the NCAA to answer a question? What are they running American Airlines? What are they doing?
I don't know. They get the Enola Gay to Fort Collins, though, for that trip.
Yeah.
All right, Ives, go ahead.
All righty. Just before we move on, just a reference. Pass means nothing, but UConn is 63-4 in the state of Connecticut in the tournament under Geno. But Taurasi's not walking through that door.
They got a great program. They're awesome. Geno's, they deserve to be a two seed. But if I'm NC State, I can't wait to play
them. Yeah. Let's go.
All righty. Next one. There are, as we noted, there are three of the four five seeds in the women's side are from the ACC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Blank is the most likely ACC women's five seed to reach the Sweet 16.
Ooh, where's BPI's chances? Notre Dame 36, Carolina 27, Virginia Tech 26. Mr. Packer?
I already answered, Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Plus, we got Kenny Brooks coming up in 5 minutes.
I will go Carolina. I'll go Carolina. I think they can get Arizona on Arizona's home floor.
All righty.
Sounds good to me. Hope they all get them. I want to see all three of them in the Sweet 16.
There you go. Sure, why not?
Last one. Duke and Miami are playing in Greenville, South Carolina, and one of the better regionals on the men's side in terms of the teams that are there. Duke and Miami should eat at blank for dinner in Greenville, South Carolina.
Bojangles. Sponsor, you know. What are you laughing at? Well, I don't even know why you're thinking that's funny.
Yeah, don't worry about Halls.
I mean, I'm not worried about Halls. You know why? Because Halls didn't put any money in our pocket. Bojangles does. So go eat at Bojangles.
Omega's an old breakfast lunch place in Greenville. I think Omega's a diner kind of deal.
On a serious note,
yeah,
Greenville has got a great food scene.
Yes, it does.
For folks who've never been to Greenville, South Carolina, it is one of the secrets. I mean, it's words getting out. They've done a brilliant job. Main Street's beautiful. There's so many great restaurants in and around Greenville, South Carolina. Nice people. Arena's nice. Greenville is a hidden gem.
I'd say look at going to Hall's. Get you a nice meal at Hall's in the back room.
Is that the same Hall's in Charleston? Is that the same group?
I think so, yeah. One in Columbia, too, as I recall.
I've never been in Columbia, you know. I definitely go eat at Bojangles.
Just so y'all know, I turned to the local Kelly Gramlich for some recommendations.
What'd she say?
Lazy Goat and Trap Door.
Trap Door is excellent. A little Belgium waffles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Trap Door is good.
Kelly Gramlich.
Kelly should know.
She should know.
Greenville's, I'm telling you, Greenville's
they've done
food
nice
scene
job in Greenville.
Is outstanding.
They've done a really nice job in that area. Good job, Ives.
If you went Mexican, go asada.
Excellent debut, by the way, for Ives.
Asada. Asada for Mexican.
Yeah. Well done, Brian. Congratulations. You'll be asked back in future shows.
But, yeah, the answer is Bojangles. As long as they're still writing checks to be sponsored, especially the weekend menu, I mean, what better deal?
Yeah. Right. Charleston, Columbia, Greenville.
That's the same place?
Hall's Chapel.
Hall's, because I've been to one in Charleston. One in Charleston's fantastic.
I'm telling you, they're all good. All right.
You've been to the one in Greenville?
Absolutely.
Huh.
Very good. When we come back.
Did you pay for that, or was that part of
no,
the
No, I paid
ESPN
for that one.
Credit
no,
credit?
No, no, that was definitely not ESPN. Huh. When we come back, off to Blacksburg we go.
Could be a good place for Greenberg to take me for a step.
Kenny Brooks will join us on his way to College Park. We'll talk to him next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
That song means one thing.
What's that?
That's why we've been asking this question for the last 2 months.
That's it.
Your favorite walk-up music. What gets you fired up in the morning?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
And the answer to this song equals Kenny Brooks, Virginia Tech.
Let's go. Blacksburg's our next stop on the show. Yeah, huh? See, you already got a smile on your face this morning. We've already won here, haven't we? Yeah?
Yes, sir. I want to go to a batting cage right now.
Well, I tell you what, in 15 minutes, we'll allow you to do that, Kenny.
Okay.
Couple things here. I said this to Courtney. I'm going to say it to you. The five thing has irritated me since Sunday night, Kenny. It really, really bothers me. I don't like it. I think it's a slight to this league. and arguably one of the best leagues ACC women's basketball has ever had. So it bothers me. You've got to go on the road. It just does, and I'm sorry.
You know what? We felt like we were deserving. Obviously, our net proved that. You know, I think we were like 10 at the end of the season. We're ranked 16th in the country. Big wins. I definitely think we deserved it, but you know, you still had to handle your business. And our conference is so tough. Three teams were vying for that four spot, and we beat each other up. So you know, we're this was a goal of ours to get a 4 or 5 seed, so we have a better chance to advance. We accomplished that, and now we just have to go out and play.
Hmm. Before we look forward, I want to look backwards a second. Man, what a gutsy effort by your team in the ACC tournament. I mean, between the injuries, what you had to put up with, guy, you know, next girl up, let's go. I mean, you probably learned a lot about your team in Greensboro, didn't you?
I did. I found out that our team was who I thought they were. Hmm. And they're a very talented group, very confident group. And when we had our kids go down, it was next person up mentality. And we never wavered, especially in that North Carolina game. We didn't know how we were going to win. We just knew we were going to win. And by the looks on their faces, you know, you lose the player of the year and you don't waver. And everyone just knew, okay, I have to be a little bit better. During the course of that game, I looked at Georgia and I said, look, you have to be the best player on the floor. And she took it to heart. And, you know, for the rest of the game, she was and played extremely well and willed us to win.
You know, you told us the story, like, I don't know, a year or so ago about her and being over here and, you know, the COVID situation, which, you know, kind of limited everything for her, right? And just her normal life and how she had to adjust. It seems a lot of that has also occurred in her play on the floor for you. I mean, Asia and Liz, fabulous. You got a really good team. You know that. But if Georgia Amore is there at the top of the list sometimes, Kenny, that makes you a better basketball team, doesn't it?
It almost makes us unbeatable. You know, that's how much confidence I have in her. And her struggles early were just because she was trying to facilitate to make everyone else comfortable. And we sat down and talked, and we talked about the importance of her being aggressive and being a scorer for us. And, you know, to play almost like a Steve Nash type. And, you know, yeah, facilitate, but also look for yours. And when she does that, she's dynamite. You know, she shoots over 40% from the three, and she shoots a lot of them. She gets into the lane. She facilitates for others. And then defensively, she has grown so much in her, you know, year and a half here that it's monumental for us on the defensive end. So when she's playing that way, I think that we can be unbeatable. And I just love her attitude. She's become a leader. She and I are really joined at the hip now, and, you know, we communicate more. Sometimes when she gets a little bit excited, I can't really understand her because of her Australian accent. And then, but she's adjusted very well, and she stops and she talks extremely slow, and she has a Southern twang now, and it just makes me laugh. I'd say you definitely have adjusted to Blacksburg.
The Southern twang Australian combo.
I need some more of that. I got to hear some of that.
That's a new one.
You need to have her on, and you will love it.
That's a new one. I want to go to Liz Kittley a second. We know what a great player she is, but the fact that she won the Kay Yao Scholar Athlete of the Year, too. I mean, this is like the perfect poster child for what it's supposed to be about in terms of college athletics. Isn't it? Great player, great student athlete, terrific person. I mean, you're really blessed from that perspective to coach her.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys have had her on. You got to know her a little bit. And those awards are wonderful. It shows who she is, you know, in the public. But she's an even better person, player, and teammate behind the scenes. She deflects any attention to her, and she just wants to put it back on her team. She understands that she couldn't do what she's doing without, you know, her coaches, her teammates. You know, I try to get her to talk a little trash sometimes, but she won't. And, you know, she just, you know, that type of kid. And, you know, she is a poster child for a student athlete. She's a poster child for being a Hokie. And we're extremely blessed to have her. And I think that she has really transformed our culture and into a winning culture. And I love coaching her, and I think that she's been a big reason for our turnaround.
Kenny, was it tough for her to go through the situation in Greensboro, not being able to play, just kind of understanding bigger pictures type stuff here, I guess?
Yeah, it was. She probably the most competitive kid that I have, that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. She wants to win every drill. Yesterday we were warming up shooting, and I make her shoot 60 form shots, and she made 59 in a row, and she missed the last one. And you would have thought the world was ending, because she just wants to win everything. But she really loves the success of the team, of her teammates. Hmm. And when she couldn't play, she tried, and she and I had like a little private 30-second conversation at halftime of the North Carolina game, and I made the decision that she wasn't going to play, but I said, you need to be the biggest cheerleader that you can possibly be. And she took that to heart. You know, I had to stand up for most of the game in the second half because she was screaming so loud on the bench, you know, being a cheerleader. And then the next day against North Carolina State, she did everything she could to make herself available. And she went and warmed up, and then she came in, and she and I had a five-minute conversation. And I told her that I was making the executive decision that she was not going to play. And she cried. She cried because she wanted to go out there and just to help her teammates. It's not that she wants to go out there and score points. She wants to be available for her teammates because she knew how important that game was for us and our program.
Florida Gulf Coast. So what do we know about this crowd now?
Oh, gosh. They are extremely well coached. They are not a 12 seed. I really would like to be behind the scenes to figure out how they got to be a 12 seed. And you know, they're 29-2. They're ranked in both polls. They're ahead of us in the coaches poll. Mm. And so how does that equate to a 12 seed and we're a 5 seed? Mm. So we know they're going to come in motivated. Their first 6 players are seniors. They play a very unique style. They're almost like a unicorn. We've never seen this style before. You know, so we're running around trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to guard them. And, you know, so I got into a frenzy a little bit saying, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? And finally, my assistant coaches had to stop me and say, hey, coach, they have to guard us too. And so that made me feel a little bit better. And so it's going to be 2 teams with totally different styles trying to figure out how they can will their way. But they're extremely well coached. We thought we shot a lot of threes because we led the ACC and 3-point attempts, and they've shot 300 more than we have on the year. They shoot 36 a game. So that's enough. Ooh. That's why I have bags under my eyes right now, because I'm just watching film all night trying to figure out how we're going to, you know, make it tough for them.
All right. Let me ask you about ratios here. And I just looked at this. Almost 1,100 threes they've attempted in 30 games. But opponents have only attempted 348 and hit under 29%. So is it the number they shoot or the way they defend it here or a combination?
Well, I think for us it's a number that they shoot. You know, we will impose our will, and they're going to have to choose. Are they going to play Elizabeth, you know, straight up, and then she'll be able to, you know, play freely? Or are they going to double team her and we can kick it out and we can get our shots as well? And then, you know, a lot of it too is, you know, the styles of play that they teams that they play against. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they had a lot of games where they play against teams like we played against all year long. Although they do have 2 big Power 5 win games. They beat LSU and they beat Michigan State. So I think a lot of it has to do with who you're playing and how they play. But they definitely do defend well, and they really scrappy. And so we're going to really have to take care of the basketball and really, you know, just get to our spots and run our offenses the right way, and then we can get the shots that we hope we want.
Hmm. Kenny, before you leave town to get to College Park, I'd make sure I'd stop by Mike Young's office and get some of that positive mojo that he had from Brooklyn, my man. That can carry you a long way when you get some of that in your back pocket.
Well, I tell you what, it was a joy watching them this weekend. I mean, they put on a clinic each and every game. And once they got past the Clemson game, they became a team that was extremely confident. For us, it's a lot of fun to watch. We cheer for them. They cheer for us. But remarkably, our styles are so similar, so similar. And so, you know, it's a lot we can pull from them. We're motivated by them. They've done a tremendous job. You know, I think one of my video people put up a graphic that, you know, in our building, counting the tournament games, Virginia Tech men's and women's combined for 30 ACC wins. Wow. And that's remarkable in itself. So it's a lot of good basketball going on in the Hon Hurst practice facility. Hmm. But I'm so happy for them and what they've done. And now they get a chance to go on the national stage and show everybody what they've done.
I'm fascinated, like with his track, like I am with yours, and I'm curious. Then you guys, and I know it doesn't happen during the season because nobody has enough time. But do you guys whiteboard stuff at all? Because I would think listening to you and him talk about the game and what you do with personnel would be really, really interesting.
You know, it's so remarkable that, you know, our paths are very similar but different. You know, we both coached in the mid-major, mm-hmm. had really good success in mid-major games and programs. And we got here and, you know, I understand what he's doing. You know, I watch him. He watches us. We share ideas, experiences. We don't whiteboard it because we probably don't have enough time. But, mm-hmm. you know, my balcony overlooks the practice facility as well as his does. And it's very common for me to be watching his practice or him to watch our practice. And the beauty is, you know, he knows every one of our kids' names. Mm-hmm. He knows their stats. He knows how well they're playing. He talks to them. And, you know, for the last 3 years, it's been Virginia Tech basketball. Not just Virginia Tech women's basketball or not just Virginia Tech men's basketball. It's just Virginia Tech basketball. And I think that has really done well. And collectively, I think we can go to WIT. We can get a lot of things done.
We've had a couple coaches.
I hope he's listening.
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
We've had a couple coaches on already this week. I'm going to ask the same question to you, Kenny. What must Virginia Tech do to have great success in the NCAA tournament? What's the one thing that must happen for your team?
You know, I think the beauty is where we've matriculated to is that if we are ourselves, we give ourselves a tremendous chance to win and advance. And, you know, in years past, we probably needed a whole lot of luck to continue. But, you know, I think we built our program, this roster, that if we go out and we play the way we're capable of playing, nothing superhero-ish. We don't have to have, you know, something, you know, dramatically go our way. We just have to play good Virginia Tech basketball, and I think it's set up for us to be able to advance.
This is the, if I'm getting this right, this is, you went to the NCAA tournament 5 times at Madison, is that right?
I think it was 6.
6, okay.
Williams County.
And now you're going twice with Virginia Tech in back-to-back years. What changes about this event each time you go? What do you learn, and how does that help you now going with this particular team that might be your best team that you've had ever?
Yeah, well, at Madison, you know, we were fortunate to be there, and we were hoping to win. You know, actually, if you want to count the COVID year, this probably would have been our 3rd straight year
because
we were projected to be in the tournament. And that first year before COVID shut everything down, we were just happy that our name was being mentioned. Then the next year, when we actually did get in, we were happy that our name was called. Now, you know, Selection Sunday, it was wonderful, but it was like, okay, who are we playing? What's our path to advance? And I think that's just the way our program has grown up. And that can happen when, you know, you have the ACC Player of the Year. That happens when you have on the same team the all-time leading scorer in Virginia Tech history. You know, that happens when you have a budding star and a point guard in Georgia Amore. Mm-hmm. And so we expect to win, and their faces are like that. And when you play against a very tough ACC schedule all year long, it prepares you for that, and it gets you ready for that attitude. And we expect to win, and we have a great chance to do so. We know it's going to be extremely tough because it's a national tournament. It's not an invitational tournament. It's a national tournament. Mm-hmm. And every team you're going to play is going to be tough, so you have to be yourself. And if we are ourselves, we give ourselves a chance to win.
All right. Good luck Friday. We look forward to following you. Thanks for the time.
Well, I tell you what, I got to go to Bojangles now. You know, I was going to go to Chick-fil-A, but now I have to go to Bojangles. And hopefully, Mark, we can get an NIL deal out of that.
Hey, you know what? I'm here for you. That's a give, 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 Coach. That's all we do. We wish you the best.
Appreciate you guys.
You bet. Kenny Brooks, head coach at Virginia Tech, his women's team headed to College Park. They're one of those 5-12 games, but, man, he just put the fear in me on Florida Gulf Coast. I don't even play. When we come back, Seth Greenberg joins us, 9 o'clock hour. Coach Greenberg will be by. Cam McGusty from Miami as well. So we work through the power hour next.
Packer and Durham.